That's him.
What are we doing
surprise!
Here?
Wow. Weird. I had no idea.
So, oh, sorry.
The weird surprise party.
Okay, we'll go. We'll go. We're going. We're going.
That's right. That's right. You're listening to the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Hulkamilam and Squamish-speaking peoples. And joining us in studio today, joining me in studio today, is Self-Care.
Whoa! Weird!
Welcome, welcome. Jamie, get on that side of the table.
Sorry, I'm on the wrong side. I'm on the interviewee side.
this has been a long time in the making to let the listeners, you the listeners, in behind the curtain a little bit. We had this scheduled for the day or 2 days after the release of your brand new album, Doggy. And, baseball.
Did we actually have this scheduled?
Yes.
The past 2 weekends.
Two weekends in a row.
Oh, I had no idea. What a great bit by Jesse. I feel like a real jerk. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, we're here now, which is truly all that really matters, I think. And we're celebrating the release of your new album.
Hey! Woo! We did it!
Which, I must say, I really do adore. It's great. I've been listening to it a ton. When you get your $3 check from Tidal,
let's go.
That's me.
Oh, yeah, let's go!
You're the only Tidal user?
I'm the only Tidal user, I think. And so you're way up on the Tidal charts, at least for Vancouver. Nice. I don't know. I've been sharing songs with our listeners the last couple of weeks in pre-recorded episodes on my other show, Speak Up. So once your album is submitted to the CJSF Music Library, you'll be on the charts.
Which Jesse texts me about all the time.
Beautiful.
And I haven't done yet. I'm so sorry.
I'm going to send him a link.
Yeah. Andy is the master's keeper.
We had a little chat.
We've been going for a little bit and haven't played any of the music. So I want to get us started with a track from the new record. We can go with my picks, but I also want to know if there's something, like any track in particular that you guys think is like the best introduction. And is it the first song?
I think going with the way we used to be is probably
a good
way to go.
I'm also curious to know like what you think of it and like how you kind of
Let's do that. Let's leave you do your picks. Jesse Winsloff tour of the album.
I have to make decisions.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. Well, I don't know whether to start with again with my favorite or with what I think is the best setup for the album. I think that you've sequenced the album really well, and the first track, The Way We Used To Be, does give a bit of a tour of all the different kind of parts you're threading together, where you've got some sort of mostly straight-ahead pop-punk, but you've also got some sort of spacey, reverb-y, mathy stuff. And yearning vocals, and some crash and drums. So why don't we just do that? I'm going to cop out and just do the decision that you guys already made.
Win-win.
There you go.
This is Way We Used To Be by Self-Care.
We'll be right back.
calls her friends, doesn't know where she is. Shopping carts through the streets. I swear it's the only way it should be seen.
To be by Self Care from the new record Doggy, and the boys are in studio with us right now. I realize now I know you all, and so I didn't introduce any of you. but if you're out there in listener radio land, guys,
get in front of that mic, Luke.
Hi, I'm Luke.
I'm Andy. I play guitar and sing backup vocals.
And you lead the charge sometimes there, bud.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I'm Jamie.
One of you is my co-host, but it's a little weird.
It's a little strange.
So the new record, as I mentioned, is called Doggy, and it's out now, and you can and should buy it lots of different places. Well, on Bandcamp. I guess, is the place to buy it.
The only place to buy it.
You can stream it other places, but that's evil, as we... I was going to say recently discovered, but I think we've always known.
I think we've always known.
Always known.
It, just became, like, extreme... Like, they just made it visible, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask you, I promise there would be no hard-hitting questions, but I lied. There's one. This record has been described as better than Enema.
Oh.
I wonder who said that.
And the person who said it is someone who bought the most expensive tickets to see Blink-182 when they played here most recently.
This is true.
Thoughts?
Generous, very generous evaluation of the album. It was very nice. The person who said it, and it's a local radio legend, too.
Yeah, producer of multiple local FM radio morning shows.
Yeah, it was very, very sweet of him. Kind of blew my mind. But I can see the through line, you know. Similar production.
I'm just learning about this for the first time now.
Can we not tell you about it? Oh, it's very nice. Not critique, just what's the compliment is the good word.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not humbling. Generous.
Generous is a nice way to put it. I think it was... I know for you and me, Andy, and I think it was something that you saw that Andy and I were doing, was just like that era of Blink 182 was something that we really felt like we needed to cite. Like, that's kind of what we couldn't help but go there. Like, the amount of times we were like, oh man, we should cover Wendy Clear. Or, like, things like that.
We will
send it. Yeah, we will send it.
Yeah, I mean, Enema of the State was the first, like, rock album. Next to a Limp Bizkit album that I ever bought. It was definitely informed a lot of, like, the stuff I loved growing up, and then Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, and then every other Blink album since. But, it's definitely very present in our music, I would say. And we're a three-piece, so we're just doing the best we can.
I don't know, was that, like, about a right summation of, like, our approach to a lot of these songs, at least from a drum perspective?
I definitely try to just serve the songs. I don't know. Talking about influences is hard. I mean, like, I'm not really a pop punk guy. I come back, like, you know, I'm spent years just so deep into, like, math rock, and then I got really into jazz, and I'm just in like funk drumming. A lot of funk's kind of corny, but funk drumming's really good. But, like, I love rhythms, so I brought just like that, like. I want to play some pop punk, but I want to, like, have what my idea of fun is playing drums. So, like, it's, I don't know, I think fairly straightforward, but also then, you know, like, do a weird little beat here and there.
I do notice that listening to the drums, the parts, a lot of the times they'll, like, mirror or counterpoint a melody. Like, there are lots of moments where it's not just like,
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of that because it's a pop punk rock record, right? But I noticed that. I also just, this sort of brings us into, you've already talked about Blink as an influence. I just, are there other sort of points of reference that you had in mind while writing these songs or while recording them, like things that you wanted as sort of like the North Star for your process?
I mean, from a guitar perspective, I can definitely talk about that a bit. Like, Tiny Moving Parts was like, I was very into them when we were writing a lot of these songs. And while I can't play math rock like Dylan Mathiasen, I definitely tried to like throw little bits of that mm-hmm. here and there, like quick little hammer-ons, pull-offs, and tapping. And from the Blink kind of influence, we don't really have any solos in any of the songs because I really like Blink bridges because they're quite simple. Like the drums kind of take over very largely in like the bass, and then there's like one guitar riff basically that'll just play for 20 seconds. And I probably do that to a fault, but I don't know. I like the simplicity of that, and that definitely came through on the record, I would say.
I tried, like every time, at least vocally, I would try to write stuff. I thought a lot about Spraynerd, which I know was a band that Luke you brought, like a band that I've loved forever, and like you.
Did you show me Spraynerd? I feel like maybe they were like I only really got into them since I've been in the band.
I think we were in practice when it happened.
Well, no, so the Spraynerd thing was interesting to me because like I've loved Spraynerd forever. Like I've loved Spraynerd since like I've known you, Jesse, and like. I think we were talking about covers, and you recommended a Spraynerd song when I don't think I like was really talking a lot about Spraynerd in the band, mm-hmm. and like that said to me, that signaled to me because that was pretty early in the process. And that signaled to me that like you were super on board with what was going on, and that was really exciting to me. But like Spraynerd for their earnestness was what I think about vocally, lyrically. Same with Pup. But I don't have like the rasp that those guys do. So I tried to like cite them lyrically and then maybe lean a little more into a modern baseball type of singing style. And then in terms of like bass playing, I don't know, I love Eric Judy. I think he's the perfect bass player. Mm-hmm. So I always just try to do like melodic bass lines like that. And sometimes I can't play and sing at the same time, so I rein it in.
I know who Eric Judy is, but for the listeners, who's that?
Well, it's the Modest Mouse bass player.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Yeah.
I totally knew that.
Yeah.
Thanks for stepping up. So it's interesting, you know, some of those references or influences you mentioned are sort of more recent. Some of them go back. One thing, listening to this record as someone who has known, well, at least Andy and Jamie for quite a while, it sounds very much like you guys. Like it really does sound like the kind of music that you two have been making together for as long as I've known you. And I just wonder how much of that just like happens or how much of that is like something that you're thinking about.
At this point, I think it just kind of happens. I think bringing Luke into the fold has brought like a very cool dynamic to it though, because it's like a little more experimental or like a little more aggressive than what we usually write. I'd say like we used to write like a more kind of prog rock adjacent music over the years or like slightly slower paced rock music. And this album's like a bit faster, a bit more energetic. And I think a lot of that comes from the drums. But I think it just happens. Like, I don't know, we're not actively trying to write music that is kind of like very similar to what we've done over the years, but it seems to keep happening. And I think a lot of that is to do with like how I play guitar as well, and or even when I used to play bass in some world bands. I don't know, I could probably branch out a bit more, but I don't know, it just kind of happens, I would say.
I think, and maybe this is just my experience, but I think what happened is like when you and I were playing in bands previously, I think we were very much trying to like follow a trend of what was going on, what was popular, and we were trying to emulate that. Like I remember we were trying to play a lot of a Tokyo Police Club style right out of the gate because mm-hmm. we were really into Tokyo Police Club. I was trying to play a lot more Modest Mouse when I was getting into Modest Mouse. And then like even other versions of those bands or bands that we were listening to at the time really started to kind of influence directly what we were playing. But this version, like of us writing music together, doesn't feel like that so much. It's more like we are mining
like what we truly, truly have loved over the years, when needed to like find a part, or like, what do I want this to feel like? What do I want this to sound like? So it feels like we're more representative of like our authentic selves instead of just like what we're into at the moment.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice distillation of what we were feeling, and then yeah, bringing Luke in, like, added some much needed, counterpoint to that. Like once Luke came in to write all the drum parts and to make the songs finished, then they all kind of took on their own personality that feels like the three of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because this is like, well, for Jamie and I, this is the first like pop punk record pop punk project we've actually done, like proper pop punk. But it's probably one of our oldest influences, if not the oldest, in terms of like music genres.
Totally.
Yeah, it does feel like a shift from like trying to make other music and not being able to help it come out with some pop punk to sort of like, let's do pop punk, and then all your other influences are sort of coming out through that. And I think one of the strengths of the record is that it does sound like every song sounds like a self-care song, right? Like there are no two songs that sound like, oh, well, there's two of these and two of these and two of these, but they all sound internally consistent, which I love. Anyway, let's play some more music.
Let's do it.
I will soon be asking you for your favorite songs on the record, but now we're going to play my favorite song. Do you guys have a guess what my favorite song is? Stop looking at the screen.
I won't make a guess because I think I saw what it was, but
I have a feeling it either starts with an S or an A or an L.
That narrows it down.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's either LBL or Don't Try.
Well, as you're all wrong. And it's actually Blue Blazer.
Oh!
Hot take.
Thank you.
True Devotion. Nope. Just kidding. Blue Blazer by Self Care, who are here in studio on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM. I revealed that that was my favorite track from the record, to much acclaim, to much clamor. How do you guys feel about this song?
I love it. I originally came up with the guitar part for it, which was like, yeah, how a lot of our songs kind of come to life. I'm just like messing around. But I was listening to a lot of Taylor Swift at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I always have been. First five albums are the best. Fight me. We didn't have any songs that were kind of just straightforward in terms of like a pop structure where like it's just four chords going the entire song. And I really wanted to have a song like that. So this entire song, like the verse progression, it's picked differently, but like it's the same four chords. The chorus is the same four chords. And it just kind of carries throughout. And like, I think that really helped it become one of like our catchier songs. Cause mm-hmm. I don't know, there's just like different levels to the same type of sound kind of throughout the song. But, yeah.
Yeah. There's a familiarity, like it feels familiar through the whole thing because it is the same chords, but it's not, it doesn't feel repetitive because, as you said, you're playing them differently, which I think achieves that goal really, really nicely. Jamie, you were talking off air about just the vocal hook, which I mistakenly called the song as we came back on air. You said that that was something that you had actually sort of sat down and figured out and like crafted more than anything else on the album. What was that process like?
I think when we were originally figuring out vocals for this song, we had that soaring vocal, like the True Devo, and like it just felt so limp on its own. It just like needed something, and so we actually like, I remember we spent like a practice or two just like only focusing on that vocal line and just like neither Andy or myself, who sing in the band, are like proper singers, and like we don't have music theory to like really align or like write things properly, and so we just like really got in the weeds and just like figured out what that harmony is, and we even like switched to saying what, because like we thought it was kind of easier for one of us to do a different way than the other. Anyways, we just like we really sweated over the way that we approached that piece, especially after, and this we're talking about like our producer Michael Kenyon from Phony Records. He really encouraged us to like play and adjust the structure of this song, and he helped us identify that as the main hook for the song, which I think is like pretty clear listening to it now. And so we just like needed to make it big and hooky and as anthemic as possible. Mm-hmm. We really put the pressure on ourselves for that part to make sure it landed.
Mm-hmm. Is this song about wrestling?
It's as all of our songs, I take the things that I like and my hobbies and my interests and use them for like an analogy of something else. This one is about like trying to make people proud, but obviously, yes, it's about wrestling.
Yeah,
it's setting the Hart family.
It's really a wrestling album at its core.
Of wrestling and baseball is what the album is about.
Explain.
There's only one song about wrestling, but I do want to say on the topic of Blue Blazer, the drums in that verse are probably my favorite drums on the entire record. I love them. They're so interesting and unique, and like that with the picking guitar and Jamie's like very cool bass line and kind of the melodic harmonies that we're doing, like, yeah, I love the drums. I'm always just tapping along them.
They say go nuts, guys.
Do you think cook, Luke, cook?
Let them cook.
When you're, you know, writing something like that, how do you, you know, there's a lot, there can be a lot going on. Do you think about like how to balance like interesting parts with like managing clutter and that sort of thing as you're putting things together?
I think, yeah, I really maybe under intellectualize the whole process. Like talking about it, I kind of have a hard time. I think the guys have way more to say. And I think, yeah, earlier I said, like, I'm just trying to serve the songs. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, because our process up to this point has been mostly, like, Andy Or Jamie will come in with like a riff. Like, I got an idea, or like I got a verse and I got a chorus, or I got part of an idea. And then I listen to it and I just, just try to like make it better. Right. But also I try to bring out the best parts of it. With like, as you alluded to, of like, you know, maybe some like, syncopation, some just like rhythms that work well with it, that, kind of like, you know, engender in the listener the kind of what, you know, like I just want people to